All right, thank you for being here tonight. I know it's an off night, a Tuesday night, and we'll have another one of those next Tuesday night. And I do encourage you strongly, it is Christmas season. How many of you have been to one or two Christmas parties? Really? How many of you are sick of them? How many of you are sick of your family? I'm already there. Okay, good. We've had a lot of Christmas parties and fellowships. I'm sorry, we don't have parties. We're saved. We have fellowships. And I hope, though, that during Christmas time that we're faithful to the church services. And, of course, you're here on Thursday night. And it would seem odd to me that just because Christmas is on a Sunday, we don't come to church. Because it is, I mean, we are celebrating Christ, right? Yeah, okay, we'll see you guys, you three, Sunday morning. We'll have a really good time with that. And just a couple things. Brother Buna and Miss T are here with us tonight. Good to have them back in town. Give them a hand. Of course, Brother Torres is still here, and Brother Tu is still here. And who am I missing? Brother Tongdi is back. And so, we're glad to have all of these guys back. Tremendous blessing from Brother Board. That was just fantastic. Friend Day there. That's incredible. And I hope you listen to these things, okay? A 70-year-old witch doctor. Saved. And wanting to know the Bible so that he can reach his family. That's just incredible. And so I hope you continue to pray for our missionaries. And then one last thing before we get started. Christmas gift for Jesus. We had a good initial offering with that. But I know there's always some that weren't able to give. And over the next couple weeks, more will come in. But thank you so much for your giving to that and trying to be a blessing to the school. And if you were not able to be a part of that, I do encourage you this Sunday or whenever, you can go straight on Simple Give or the website and give to that. And that would be a blessing. We're coming towards the end of our discipleship lessons that we've been going through, and we've been talking about constantly changing. We've mentioned it over, and we've had some messages over the last a couple Sunday nights about why we have preaching and how preaching is part of that whole process about helping us to change. But the understanding is that when we got saved, salvation changed everything in our life. And it ought to change. And it ought to change. And it ought to change everything in our life. If you got saved and there wasn't much change in your life, there's something drastically wrong. I can very easily say that, because when a person gets saved, there ought to be evidence that they're a Christian. There ought to be evidence that God is doing something in their life, and the Spirit of God indwells them and is doing something in their life. Not that when you got saved, you became perfect. That will never happen. But when you got saved, you started on this process, and that was the first part that we looked at, a sanctification of God working in your life and using the Word of God and using His Spirit to change us, to make us what He wants us to be. I hope that's the desire of your life. We looked at sanctification already. We will not go over that. We started with transformation. Sanctification is that process from the time we're saved until we die, that we're constantly growing in our faith. God is doing things, and we're changing. Transformation is the actual change. That's when we're transformed. And we mentioned last week, you know, little toys, the transformer. You take a little transformer toy, and it's an action hero, and then it becomes a pickup truck or something like that. It's completely different. Well, that's how we ought to be. And when we're transformed, we're changed from something we used to be, something we used to do, to become something completely new. And we looked at the first part, we'll finish it up here, and this is the important part, it's mentioned in Romans, that transformation starts with the mind. We read that in the book of Romans. Look at the verses there that are underneath this one. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In these verses, Paul is saying, I'm begging you to give yourselves to God, to be wholly committed to Him. That's in verse 1. Then in verse 2, he says, you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why is the commitment part in verse 1 first, and the transformation part second, because you won't transform unless you want to be transformed. That was weak. Let's try that one more time. You will not be transformed unless you want to be transformed. Yeah, that's, look, God's not going to change you unless you want to be changed. But once you desire to give yourselves to him, and I like that little phrase there, reasonable service. You know what that means? It just makes sense. It adds up. There is no reason in my mind why a Christian should not want to give themselves to God. I don't understand that. I'll just be honest with you. I don't get it. I think every Christian that's saved, if they really understand how wonderful God was to them, how wonderful Jesus is to them, and how remarkable the Bible is, they would want to be changed. They would want to give themselves to God. Fact of the matter is, it's abnormal for a Christian not to want to present themselves to God. We look sometimes and look at that guy, man. They're all over the map. This, you know, they're 100%. They're giving everything. That makes me nervous. They're a good Christian. They get it. They understand that it just makes sense to say, God, I'm yours. That ought to be all of us. And then as we present ourselves to God, it is so easy to change and want to be changed. And now we're transformed because we've given ourselves to God. So because we've done that, we don't want to be conformed to the world. We want to be changed. And it starts in our mind. We gave you the illustration last time, and we won't go over it, where, you know, you go to those things and your mind gets tricked into believing what it sees, and you start to react to that because it's in your mind. Now, we didn't go over all of it. If you want to be transformed, then you need to change what you are allowing into your mind. You understand that? You have to. If you were in the habit of allowing things to your into your life that were ungodly, unchristian, and just flat out wrong, then the only way you're going to be transformed is through the process is to weed that stuff out. You have to do that. And you need to bring the good stuff in. I say it over and over, but it's absolutely true. The average believer is more discipled by the world than they are by the Bible. That's why our belief systems are closer to the world and not the Bible. Why? Well, we want to listen to the world's music. Well, I just like the sound of the music. Don't give me that garbage. You teach children, you put words to a song. Why? Because the music with the song, and I mentioned before, what is it, Cocomelon? They learn their ABCs before they're like two. Okay? So that's not true. We have to be very careful that the way our life is, the things we believe, the things that we do, we're getting those from the scripture and not from the world. Everything we see and hear lodges in our minds. So the key to transforming our lives is to change what we think about. By the way, it gets in there, it's hard to get out. Right? How many of you were saved later on in life? Raise your hand. How many of you, maybe before you were saved, listen to music that was not, let's just say, Amazing Grace, right? And you go somewhere and you hear that song. You immediately know all the words. You know everything about it. Why? It's lodged in your mind. Now that's just a memory. You've listened to it too many times. But the Word of God can kind of flush that out. And so we got to be very careful. Stuff gets in there. Now, we can transform and kind of bring every thought into the obedience of Christ and not focus on those things anymore when we overpower it with the Word of God in our mind and the things that we're listening to. It's like health. When you want to be healthier, you are more aware of what you are allowing into your body. Now, not over the holidays, okay? You have a 3-week since Thanksgiving, you can eat whatever you want. It's all healthy. Okay, but by the way, sometimes, thank you, Jay, so you're going to live that, thanks. Sometimes you have maybe certain things, the doctor will say, look, you need to change your diet for this one, right? Start eating more things like this. This is better for you. The better food that you have, the better you'll feel. You'll drink better fluids, more water, more coffee, okay? Because coffee is just water run through some magical things that make it even better water, right? How many of you drink flavored water? Okay, well, don't criticize coffee, that's all that is. The same should be true with our spiritual health. So if we want to be healthier spiritually, then let's put better spiritual things into our mind. Let's put healthier things into our mind. And I've said it over and over, but listen, if your mind is the key, then you should watch better things, you should listen to better things, and you should avoid anything that is going to give any influence that's going to get into your mind. The way to change that is to change what we put into our minds. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. I just, in a side way, I quoted a little bit of it. He's talking about spiritual warfare in a sense. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What's a stronghold? You know, there's areas in our life where we have spiritual, where unspiritual things or ungodly things have kind of got a stronghold in our life. And so we need to weed those out. We need to get those out of our life, especially if we got saved later. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Those thoughts in our minds. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Those things that'll go against God's knowledge in our mind. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Sometimes some weird thought will come zooming through your mind. Don't let it lodge there. Throw it out. Okay? You bring it into obedience. I'm not thinking about that. And you bring the right things in. We are to bring every thought in our mind to the obedience of Christ. Now that's scary. It's hard enough to get our actions right. We have to be careful about our thoughts. Those two play together. We cannot allow godless principles and philosophies to gain lodging in our minds. What we think about today will be what we act out tomorrow. Mark it down. Mark it down. That's why I'll be listening to something on the radio or whatever, and I'll hear some commercial, and that's a lie. Okay, it just irritates me. And I hope you recognize that. But you're purposely watching these things. That's why all this woke stuff, they're throwing in all the entertainment. You can't watch anything. You watch, oh, that's a family movie. And then they'll show a family with two dads. Just briefly. Why? By the way, that's the cue to turn it off. Well, that was weak. Say, but it was a wholesome, good movie. As soon as they throw that one thought in there, you turn it off. Say, kids, that's not true. We ain't watching that. And by the way, they know it has nothing to do with the storyline. We'll park there for a minute. It has nothing to do with the storyline. They're trying to make it normalized beliefs. And so if they throw it in, and now it's look, you. All these things, they're throwing all these different things in there slowly, but it's just a little tiny part, I know, but your kids are seeing it. And so they're going to think it's normal. And you're like, oh, I know that's not true. Oh, it's all, come on, like that. You know, it's like, come on. It's just, we have to be very, very careful because they have a game plan. They know if they throw enough of it out, they know. Every time they throw something like that out there, they lose money. They know it. Disney's hemorrhaging money. Every one of their movies coming out has all that garbage in it, and people aren't watching it. So why in the world do they keep doing it? Can I tell you why? They're playing the end game. They know that the parents will get up and yell and scream about it, and the kids don't listen. And eventually they're going to get your kids, and now it's normalized. And especially in our government-run organizations, our schools. I'm going to be honest with you. I hate to say that because it's like, well, have you been lying the whole time up until now? We in our church cannot overcome in 2 hours Sunday morning if you go to Sunday school, 1 hour Sunday night, 1 hour Thursday night. We cannot overcome in 4 hours what kids are being taught all week long in a public school. Can't. We can't. I'm sorry. Well, I'll just, you know, my kids are going to stand for God there. Okay. Yeah. And why they're trying to stand for God, and that's your excuse, you know what they're pumping into their mind? All that garbage. All that garbage. They're going to see drag queens, which is beyond perverse. And you don't know that. That's the scourge of our country now. Everybody's throwing drag queens out there. You say, I don't know what that is. Good. That means you're not watching, you're listening to the right things. Because they have an agenda. They're after. And that stuff just constantly gets in here. And then they come to church and they hear preaching the Bible. And it's like, you know, you're a boomer. You're a spiritual boomer. You know, you're out there. You're just weird. Why? Because everybody out there, and they're listening, hearing it, seeing it, and it's not being rebuked. We have to be very, very careful. So what can you do? If what gets into your mind will eventually come out in your actions and your beliefs and all of that, then how do you combat it? Watch what you put in your mind. You can't control, like the illustration I gave last week, the only way when my wife and I were at Knoxbury Farm and I was about to fall down and standing there watching a movie was to close my eyes. And it all went away. Now my senses couldn't see it anymore. So we have to be very careful about that. That's why many of you, and I'm not trying to kick a dead horse, although if I was kicking, it's probably still alive. But that's why many people struggle in their faith. I'm just telling you, there's a reason you struggle. Because you're getting more of what's outside the walls of this church door house than you are getting from your Bibles. And that's going to win every single time. It's going to take a while. You may be hearing it and say, I get it, I'm going to rebuke. And then eventually it's just going to be second nature to you. And then you come into church and you yawn or the pastor's weird. Everybody here's a fuddy-duddy. I'm only here because of blah, 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 blah. And I'm looking for my chance to walk out the door because you walked out the door in your mind a long time ago. So be very, very careful. If you struggle and you have that desire for God, I'm telling you, turn the corner. Start putting the right stuff in your mind. The New Year's coming. Why not make some commitments? Not New Year's resolutions, because those usually are done by January 3rd. I'm talking about some New Year's commitment. I'm going to be in my Bible. I'm going to be faithful to church. I'm going to listen to the right kind of things. I'm going to feed my mind. See, everybody's exercising starting on January 1st. Everybody's going to eat salad all 365 days and eat vegetables starting January 1st. Why don't we do that spiritually? Right? Get away from the worldly Twinkies. Because everybody knows ho-hos are better. Those are Santa's favorites. Thank you for coming. Okay? So why don't we do that spiritually? Right? I want you to feel good. But let's feel good spiritually. Be careful. We struggle, and the battle's up here. We got to watch it, so be careful. And then next, this kind of ties in with it, transformation is accomplished with the Word of God, right? If we're going to put the right things in, the ultimate right thing we put in is the Word of God. You see, there's and sometimes, I mean, in the world in which we live, sometimes you got to focus on the negative stuff. And it's not negative. You think it's negative because we're preaching against things. It's a two-sided coin. You get on the negative. These are the stuffs you got to stop. You got to put the gates up. These are the things you got to say. You're no longer welcome. Get out of here. But you open the gate to the good things. And if all you're doing is one without the other, you're going to have a hard time. Well, I just won't watch the bad thing. A bad thing. You know, I don't like the new things, but I'll just be careful. You have to have replacement. Now, I've mentioned before, I didn't like church music. Like, what? You know, that's just weird. It was slow, and it was, I know, you're going to label me a liberal, and I'm not a fundamentalist. I don't like organs. I mean, I like my organs. They keep me alive. Okay, it's just, I'm not an organ person. I like the big pipe organ, you know, like, as long as you're not playing a funeral march. But you know, and I'm like, ah, you know, Amazing Grace, and all. I'm like, ah. I'm like, I can't listen to my music. I don't need music. But as I went on and I got rid of the other stuff, the Christian music started sounding good. And it ministered to my spirit. Once I got the gunk out, right? It's like the good stuff actually tastes good. You know, it's like when you first start eating vegetables. I didn't eat vegetables, I hated them. You know, like you go get a hamburger, it's like, you know, lettuce and tomatoes, take those off. And then it's just like, you know, I went to Bible college and they just, you know, they slung in on the, you know, you got to eat this, here's what they're feeding you. And I'm like, I'll just eat it. And I didn't really like it. But after a while, it's like, I like that. And I like the good stuff now. I still like Twinkies, don't get me wrong. But you have to replace, get rid of the negative and get the good stuff. You know what the good stuff is? It's the Word of God. It's everything about the Scripture. We have to quit something. Well, I'm not going to eat at Taco Bell anymore. Okay, but you have to eat something. You know, who would say that? I'm not going to eat fast food anymore, therefore I'm not eating anything. Sorry, Joel, McDonald's. And, you know, we took the grandkids out today to get some things, and then I'm like, okay, I'll take you to lunch. And we went to, and then afterwards I went and bought a Ford. But we ate at McDonald's, so that's my once a year backsliding. I felt like I was drinking, really did. But no one would say that. I'm not going to eat junk food, so I'm not going to eat anything. That doesn't work. The good stuff. You know, the Bible is a primary resource to feed our minds with. We have a really hard time acting sinfully if we are regularly feeding on the truth of God's word. Right? That's the ammo. God uses that. You're living your life, and you're going to face situations, but if you've been in the Word, and you're regularly in the Word, it's going to be there for you. You're going to know that something's not right. Scripture, thoughts of Scriptures, things you've read, things you've heard, it's going to pop there. It's like, this is not how a Christian acts. This is not right. But if you're not giving yourself that ammo, you're not going to be able to fight that battle. You're going to have all the other stuff in your mind. It's just common sense. It's hard to be involved in a bunch of bad things if your mind is full of good things. That's why we say no one just suddenly backslides. They were reading their Bible every day for the last 6 years, praying, loving Jesus, faithful to church, serving, and one day they're in an affair. Doesn't happen that way. A long time ago, something quit entering their mind, the good stuff. And stuff that wasn't right started entering their mind. And slowly but surely, the transformation went the other direction. And so be very, very, very careful about that. The Bible tells us, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Understand that the key to transformation, sanctification is transformation. And the key to transformation is filling our minds with eternal truth. Make some commitments this next year. I'm going to regularly read God's word, right? I mean, I hope that when I said on Sunday night, turn to the book of Amos, you're like, seriously? There's a book of Amos? Yeah. I mean, I remember when I was first, you know, in church and pastor, I hadn't read through my Bible yet. I was in the process. Turn to this book. I'm like, you know, concordance, you know, or the table of contents, right? That was my favorite. Actually, I put those little cheat things on there, the little tabs, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, you know, and grab that thing. But you know, I figured it out after a while. I hope that you make that a part of your life. I really do. That'll help you. Regular attendance to the preaching services. Be faithful. Be faithful to church. Okay? And I haven't said it in a while, let me just say it. The cameras, that's not church. That's when you're sick and you can't come. Not, you know, oh, I stubbed my toe. Put a Band-Aid on it and get over here. You know, I coughed one time today. Okay, good. That's really good. But let's be with God's people. Regular fellowship with godly people. You know, it's encouraging to be with other people that love the Lord. Amen. Right? It's just encouraging, like, wow, I'm not alone. There's people that actually do love the Lord. There's people that want to go out soul winning. They want to be on bus routes. They want to do the right thing. Those are the kind of people I want to be with. And I would say this, regularly listen to good godly music. I believe this all my heart. You'll never rise above the level of your music. You tell me what you listen to, and I'll tell you where you are as a Christian or where you're going to be. You won't. Don't even tell me that. Sorry, it ain't happening. No one preached on rock music when I got right with God. I didn't hear one thing about it. And I would sit in my room, I'd read my Bible, and then I'd listen to my music. And I had like, you have Apple Music or whatever, right? We had albums, and I had hundreds of them. Okay, I had a job, I had a good job, got out of school early, had a good job, didn't have a lot of bills. I had money, so I bought whatever I wanted. And my sister had a lot of them, and she quit listening to them. She gave them to me, so I had the 60s covered, and I'm into the 70s and 80s. I was doing good. And I'd listen to that stuff, and Stephen, it just hit me. I'm like, man, that stuff is so much different than what I'm reading. And I'm like, there's something not right here. And I'm like, something's got to go. Music went. They didn't preach and say, we're going to have a bonfire, bring your albums, we're going to throw them and break them. I just pulled the trash can in the night before the trash came out. I threw them all in there. It was pretty heavy, by the way. I should have thought of that ahead of time. And I drug it back out to the front, and they were gone the next morning. Okay? And it was primarily because I was reading my Bible. It wasn't brain surgery. So listen to God. If you're trying to do the other things and you're listening to godless music, you're going to struggle. I'm just telling you. You're going to struggle. There's nothing good about that. Read godly material. Books and things. And study spiritual things. Make it a part of your life. Don't just make it a church thing. You're a Christian. You're not a churchian. It's not just something we do Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night. It's who we are 24/7. We ought to always be constantly growing in those things. Transformation next empowers us to put off the old and put on the new. To put off the old and put on the new. When we became a new man, and we briefly mentioned this on Sunday night, we put off all of our old actions, attitudes, and sins, right? They don't match anymore. If I'm a new person, and I want to put on Christ, and I want to put on Christianity, I had a lot of garments, spiritually speaking, or worldly speaking, I had to take off. I mean, it started in my room. I went to my room, and the music was there, and the stuff I had hanging on the walls, and all that stuff, I had like a little, the way our house was, I had like a little bachelor apartment in the back, my own restroom, my own room, my own entranceway. And I had all this stuff, and I'm like, that's the past. And I looked at that stuff on the wall. I'm like, some of it wasn't good pictures. And I'm like, it has to go. And I went in there and I ripped it all off the wall. My mom came in and said, she just looked at me like, what is going on? There's something different about you. And she knew I started going to church. And a couple weeks later, when the pastor's wife and another lady came by on visitation and witnessed to my mom, the first thing she said, there's something different about him. I mean, he took everything out of his room. That was just, I'm a new person and that's old stuff. It's got to go. I had to get rid of it. I couldn't be looking at that kind of thing. I couldn't be promoting that kind of lifestyle. So you put that stuff off and then you put stuff on. It's like we say in our classes we have, some of our growth classes, growth is a matter of change, and it involves two things. Addition, we put on the new man. We become new by adding new things, right? Some of the attitudes we had before we were saved weren't necessarily Christian. Someone crosses me or they treat me wrong, I'm going to treat them wrong too. I'm going to get back at them. That's a worldly attitude. And I'm not saying let people run over you. But I'm also saying you don't, vengeance isn't yours. But we're like that. We have to have the right actions. We have to add that to our life. I didn't do this before. I didn't do that before. I didn't do that before. I'm doing it now. Subtraction. We put off the old man. We become new by subtracting old things. Some of our attitudes. By the way, some people allow themselves to bring their bad attitudes into their Christianity. Right? By the way, I've met way too many of those. Now, not in our church. I mean, people, it's like, bro, if you're saved and you're a fundamentalist and you're standing for God, can you at least be kind? I mean, Your face is going to fall if you smile. That's just me. I'm standing for God. No, you're not. You're being a not nice person. Okay? I shouldn't say it, but I will. We had a guy, the old church. On Saturday morning, he came to Faithfulness Rally, and I didn't recognize the guy. I just went up, hey, how you doing? Yeah, fine. What's your name? And he gave me a name, first name only. He wouldn't tell me his other name. I said, oh, you here on, who comes to Faithfulness Rally, right? You from out of town? No. You here on vacation? No. You here for a job? No. And he just looked at me, and I'm like, that's all I got. I thought he'd laugh, and he didn't laugh. I'm like, I walked away like, okay. And then we go into the service. Pastor said, oh, we have our evangelist friend here. And his name was not the name he told me. And I'm a pastor. I said, that's not happening. It's like, can we just be nice? You know, it's like, so. Now there are times you're not, you know, you don't be a wimp and throw flowers at everybody when you ought to be bringing out the paddle. But you know, we just, our actions, everything about us. Let's be different. Those were the things motivated. Get rid of the things motivated by the flesh. Here's the verses here. Ephesians chapter 4. He says, that ye put off concerning the former conversation. You know what conversation means, right? Manner of life. You put off considering your former manner of life, the old man. That's not the guy you're married to, ladies, okay? Which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. That's why we get rid of the old man. We don't get rid of the old man so we look like an angel. So that we're some type of, you know, spiritual goody two-shoes. We get rid of the old man right here because he's corrupt. Deceitful lust. Your old man lies to you and wants you to do things that just aren't right. You got to put them off. And look at verse 23. Didn't we just hear this? And be renewed in the spirit of your what? Mind. I guess Romans isn't the only place. And that you put on the new man, which is after God, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Not corrupt, but righteous. Not deceitful, but true. Not lust, but holiness. These are all opposites. Did you notice that? That's why you got to take off the old ones and you replace them with things that are completely opposite. Now, let me say this. It's a lot easier said than done. That's why it's a process. That's why you go forward. My question would always be to you, are you making progress? Right? It was a lot easier to get rid of the rock music than the wrong spirit. Can I get a witness? It was a lot easier to get rid of those, the things on my wall, than be nice to people. Right after I got right with God, someone over there made the mistake of asking me to be on a bus route. Like, I need help. 120 kids on a 60-passenger bus, and it was 90-something degrees. Oh, and I did not like children. I didn't have younger brothers and sisters. I was the youngest. They were older, and I didn't even like them. And these kids are like, these are brats. We're picking them up over here. Our buses were down in this area. And look, my first week, a kid grabs someone's Bible and chucks out the window on PCH as we're driving down the road. I'm like, what a brat. And the kid in the back, there was a broken window, and they said, hey, I'm like, hey, quit sticking your hand out the window. And the kid wouldn't listen, so I moved him to another seat. And I'm like, and that, by the way, that's my last day. Amen? I'm like, let someone else raise kids. I was going to say I couldn't stand them. I just didn't like them. You know, God has a sense of humor, right? Like 4 or 5 months later, I'm the bus captain. And I'm over there with these kids, and I actually liked them. You know, giving them rides on my motorcycle, things that our insurance company would have a tissy fit today. But you know, God changes us. Those smaller things inside of us that are like, hey, I can hold on to that one. That's not a big deal. And sometimes we struggle still, but God wants to work on us. We are renewed in our minds by the Spirit of God. He uses the Word of God to help us. Why? We don't do this alone. We are energized to do so as the Spirit helps us to apply the Scripture in specific ways in our life. You wonder why do we have invitations on Sunday? Is everybody in the church backslidden and they need to come down every Sunday morning and get right with God? No. But God's always going to point something out to us, right? You know, it'll be one thought. How many have ever done that? I'll listen when I go walking. I'll listen to preaching messages, and I'll hear one thought that isn't even the message. And there's one little thought, and I'm like, that's a good thought. And I'll think on that. I've preached messages before on one thought. It wasn't even part of a message. A guy just said something. I'm like, that needs to be thought out. But God's got to work on you. And I hope in this upcoming year, you will allow him to do that. But the Spirit needs, what's the word? Ammunition. We're not charismatics. We don't believe God just speaks to us in a voice. God speaks to us through Scripture. And if we're not allowing the Scripture to become a part of who we are, he has no ammunition to speak to us. He has nothing to use to really convict us when we're wrong. You read that verse and it's like, you know, it's like the Spirit says, how are you doing with that? It's like, not very good. What is new about you that has been added? And by the way, you say, I'm making a little bit of progress. Keep going. But I'm not all the way down the road and I still have some struggles. What direction are you going? I'm going the right direction. I'm adding things. Keep going. Don't get discouraged if there's a little bit of a bump in the road. There's always going to be a bump in the road. Keep going. What was old about us that's been subtracted? You know, I tried to kill this thing and you know, it sometimes it comes back to life. It's like a possum. You ever hear him play possum? Well, our dog went about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, our dog was going nuts in the backyard and that irritated me because I couldn't sleep. And Jack was still at home, like, that's your dog, Jack. And I went out there and there was a possum. And she was all over it. And I'm like, good dog, thanks. And I'm like, go get rid of that thing, Jack. And Jack's over there, it's dead. I'm like, all right, we'll get rid of it tomorrow. Well, he was gone tomorrow. You know, somehow he got resurrected. If he comes back, we're going to call him Lazarus. He was playing possum. You know, and sometimes we think we got that thing in our life killed, and it rears its ugly head. Now, you have one of two options when that happens, to say, well, why try? Or say, you know what, that ain't happening again. I'm going to get back up, and I'm going to go forward. It's a process. Don't get discouraged in the journey. 8 o'clock straight up, let's pray. I was going to end anyhow right here. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you desire to change us. And really, I'm really thankful, Lord, you don't get discouraged with us. How often do we struggle? And Lord, you're still so gracious, and you're still going to work in our life, even when we come short. Help us to go forward. Help us to be on the path to constantly change and becoming more of what you want us to be. Bless us this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.